This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD. I am so happy to be here with you all today. I'm very excited to share this episode with you. So today we are going to talk through how to identify your unique recipe for setting yourself up for success based on what has worked for you in the past, and by taking a look at some of the achievements that you have had throughout your life, okay? So one thing I hear from you guys all the time, and I actually catch myself saying this too, is I should be further along, or I should be doing more. Now, I'll often have a client come to a session and tell me about all of these things that they did, and we will celebrate the things that they've done over the past week. And then they end that statement by saying, yeah, but I should have still done XYZ, or I could have done more. There's this constant idea that I should be doing more. Now, as ADHDers, we can sometimes lean heavily towards the side of what's not working and all the things that we should do or need to change in our lives. And by doing that and focusing so much on that, we often miss one very important piece. And that is what actually is working for us and why it's working. Now, I want you to picture climbing a ladder. Now, this ladder starts on the grass, at the ground, and it goes up to a tall water tower. There's a beautiful view at the top over the city. And imagine that you have climbed this ladder and you've climbed two-thirds of the way up. And you're looking up at how far you've still got to go, going, oh my God, I've still got so far to go. I'm never going to make it. I'm so tired. I've had enough. I'm so slow. This is taking forever. I just don't know if I can do it. Now, if you turn your head back and you look down at how far you've actually come, you're going to see how far you've come. And you might think things like, wow, I've actually come a long way. I've actually done so much already. It's not that much left. I'm well over halfway. You know what? I can do this. I'm actually getting there. When we focus on what we haven't yet done, all the things that we need to do, we miss how far we've already come. We also miss what we have achieved, and we definitely miss the opportunity to see what is working and why it's working. Now, positive emotions, they broaden our options of thinking and acting. So there is research that shows that people in a high-stakes situation make better choices when they're in a state of gratitude. Okay. Now they can, you know, in that positive emotion state, they can see more clearly the best options available before them. Now, on the other hand, the flip side of this is that the negative emotions, the research shows that the negative emotions narrow your options for thinking, leaving you with only a few rigid ways of handling any given situation. So when we are focused on how we're not there yet and how, you know, how far we've got to go and, you know, all the things that aren't working that we still need to figure out and change and do and all of that, we're in this lack-based negative mindset. Now, in my sessions with clients, I have a whiteboard that is behind me, and I will often draw a ladder on that whiteboard to give them that visual picture. And we will walk through this process and we'll put them on the ladder based on, you know, what they actually have done, where they were, perhaps when we started our sessions, where they were. And we'll put, you know, at the top there, I'll often draw like a sunshine and I'll put some words that represent where they're wanting to go and what they're wanting to achieve, perhaps goals, for example. Now that visual, when we put them on that ladder and show them how much progress they've made and how much they've created, that helps them to own it and acknowledge it and to see not only how far they've come, but also to see the areas that are working, what's working for them and why it's working. Okay. Now, this is important because it helps us to move away from the negative and unhelpful thinking, and it helps us to see what's working, why it's working, and then how we can copy and paste that to keep climbing up the ladder. Okay. And just to remind you all, last week's episode, episode number 44, was about negative thinking with ADHD. And we identified 9 common types of negative thinking that we get into, such as all or nothing thinking or catastrophizing. We went through lots of examples there, and I shared with you my 3-step process for how you can turn around your negative thinking. Okay. So if you haven't listened to that, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. So what we're going to be talking about today is your ADHD success recipe. Now, before we dive into that and your, you know, identifying your recipe for success, I want to remind you that I have a free resource available over on my website. I have created a guide that walks you through 12 specific things that I wished my doctor or somebody had told me when I was diagnosed with ADHD. 12 things I think are really important for us as ADHDers to know and understand. So you can get that completely free by heading to zenajones.com, and you will see on the top right there, there is a little button that says start here. And if you click on that, it will take you to a page where you pop in your name and your email and you get sent that guide straight away. So I highly encourage you to do that if you haven't already. And if you know anyone else who could benefit from seeing that guide and learning about and understanding these 12 things, then please feel free to forward it to them. And together, let's help as many ADHDers as we can across the globe. Okay. Now, have you ever followed a recipe only to decide that you needed to change a few ingredients to really make it your own? Maybe you've got, you know, food allergies or sensitivities and you needed to switch things out, or, you know, there's certain textures and tastes that you may not like and you want to take them out. I'll give you an example. I've got a banana loaf recipe that I got online years ago. I've been making this thing for many years now. And over the years, I have altered the amounts of the various ingredients that go in there. So for example, it has one banana in it, and I'm like, it's a banana loaf. Of course we need more bananas. So I put like 2, on occasion I'll put 3. The recipe also suggests that you use sugar in it, and I don't like using sugar in anything, so I use a little bit of rice malt syrup sometimes, and that's something I know works really well for me. I also often add walnuts or other nuts, okay? And I got this recipe that was an outline that somebody else recommended, and I've really made it my own. And it is a success every single time. It tastes delicious, and it barely lasts a day in our house because it's that good. Everyone will eat it. Okay. Now, if you want a copy, come and follow me over on Instagram or Facebook and DM me, and I'll send it to you. Okay. So just like we follow recipes when we cook and we use various ingredients, okay, we also have our own success recipes in our lives. Whether it's for creating success at work, with our health, or feeling our best, with growing a business, or perhaps getting good grades on our studies. Okay. We have a recipe that creates success for us. So the other day, I was chatting with a professional sports player who has now retired from his sport, and he has opened his own business. And he was recently diagnosed with ADHD, and by recently, I want to say a couple of years ago. And he was telling me about how he was able to create incredible success in his sporting career and how he is now struggling with his, you know, running his own business and finding a balance with having to do the book work and see his clients and, you know, manage the day-to-day running of a business and all of that. And he said it's a real challenge to also find time to take care of myself and do all of the things, especially the physical things that I really love. And as in his words, he said, I'm just feeling so all over the place all the time. And boy, can I relate to that. That feeling of being all over the place. my guess is that you can quite likely relate to. That was one of the key things that led me to go and get the official diagnosis for ADHD, was that continuous feeling of being all over the place. Now, I want to put a little side note in here, because I think that there will no doubt be somebody who needs to hear this. It is very common for professional sports players who do that for a living. It is very common for them to get diagnosed with ADHD later in life, either once they retire from playing their professional sport or when they sustain an injury. So the dopamine and the stimulation that they get from that physical activity, you know, of their chosen professional sport, that will often keep their ADHD symptoms completely managed. Okay, it's like a natural form of medication for them. Now, when that is removed and they don't have that continuous source of dopamine and sort of symptom management happening, that's when they often begin to experience a lot of ADHD symptoms, and, you know, they can experience many different struggles. And that's when they go looking for answers. And that was definitely the case for this particular person. And I did read a really great example of this, and I'm pretty sure it was in the book Faster Than Normal by Peter Shankman. And he's a business owner who loves his ADHD brain and talks about how he's been able to use it to create incredible success as an entrepreneur. And he refers to a lot of different examples and kind of the ways that he utilized his different tools and structures in his life. It's a great read. I really enjoyed it. I actually preferred it on audio. Now, back to this professional sports player, okay? We've all had achievements in our lives, whether it is a sporting achievement, or it could be graduating from university, or starting our own business, maybe dating after divorce, or traveling solo in a foreign country, and maybe even starting a new life after an abusive relationship. Each of these are an achievement, and they have their own unique set of ingredients that make up a recipe for success. Now, it doesn't even have to be a big life event like this. So just last week, I was coaching a client who was sharing a win with me around how she was able to finally tackle and manage this huge project at work that she'd been really, really struggling with and avoiding. And after we celebrated her win and, you know, really acknowledged that, I asked her to break down her success recipe and look at what specific things she did in order to create this. And as she was talking, I wrote these things up on my whiteboard. We discussed them, and we were then able to visibly see her recipe for success. And now this has become something that she refers to often and uses across multiple areas of her life to set herself up for success. Okay. So what are the key ingredients in any success recipe? There are three things that are present. Number one is belief. Belief in yourself, belief in the process, and belief in the outcome. Okay. Don't worry, we're going to go into more detail. Number two is emotion. Okay. Emotions like perhaps determination and courage and pride and fear. And then number three is action. Those are all the things that we do and perhaps the specific tools that we used in order to create the success. Okay. So number one is belief. Number two is emotion. And number three is action. So if I was to rewind about 5 years ago when I decided that I was going to date and find someone to share my life with, I know I have shared this story with you before on the podcast about how I'd been single for over 10 years and I was absolutely terrified of dating. And at the time, I didn't yet know that a lot of that was due to the RSD and my, you know, sensitivities and fears around rejection. Okay. So in order to find someone to share my life with, what I had to do was put myself out there. I did. I had to take action. They weren't going to trip over me, no matter how hard I waited and tried. I had to put myself out there. I had to go on dates, and I was terrified of doing that. And some of those dates did not work out. On one particular date, I felt like a total idiot afterwards. I wanted to quit during that process. The whole dating thing, I found it really hard and I wanted to quit, but I kept going. And eventually, by continuing with it, I met my incredible partner who I'm with now, who I've been with for just over 4 years. And I remember when we first got together and it was going so well, I remember my brain thinking, this is too good to be true. It was a sneaky little thought that my brain had. And I worked through that. And then eventually I remember getting to this place where I was just totally blown away by realizing that love like this does exist. This is real. And that I can both maintain my independence and also share my life with someone who supports me and my dream. So for me, this was a big achievement in my life. And in order to overcome my fears, my absolute terror around dating, in order to overcome that and to achieve my desired outcome here, I had to believe in myself. I had to believe it was possible. I had to believe that I could date. I had to believe I could put myself out there and not die. I kid you not, my brain is incredibly dramatic. I love this. I love the drama about my brain. But one of the things that I often feel when I'm like afraid is like my brain's like, oh, we're going to die. It's just how my brain responds. But that's literally how I felt about dating and putting myself out there. I was like, I feel like I'm just going to die. But I had to believe that I can put myself out there and not die. And I also had to believe that, you know what, I've got what it takes and I'm going to figure it out. Okay. So that was the belief element here. In terms of the emotions, I had to be willing to feel a lot of feels. I had to be willing to feel afraid and do it anyway. I felt a lot of fear. I also had to be willing to feel determined. I felt determined to see it through and to give it a really good crack. I felt brave on a lot of occasions because I was getting way outside of my comfort zone. I felt brave time and time again. And I also felt proud when I did these hard and scary things. Now, in terms of the action I had to take, I took action like joining dating apps, having conversations with people on those apps, showing up for the dates and meeting them in real life. Other actions I took, I didn't quit. I kept going even when it was hard and uncomfortable. I also took care of myself and I gave myself a lot of space because this was a very mentally and emotionally, I want to say air quotes, draining. It wasn't necessarily draining, but it required a lot of me mentally and emotionally. So I gave myself a lot of space and downtime to process that and allow myself to re-energize and regain my spoons when we talk about spoons. I also, actions I took was I used my coaching tools. I self-coached a lot. I processed my feelings. I used, you know, a variety of tools. One of those is EFT tapping that we will talk about in a future episode, right? I also acknowledged myself. This is one of the actions I took. I did look at this because this was really important. I acknowledged myself for doing hard and uncomfortable things. And I told myself that I was really proud of myself for doing this hard shit. And I focused heavily on having my own back. Okay. And then I reminded myself often of why I was doing this. So that was just a huge brainstorm dump of all of the beliefs I had about myself, the process, the outcome, the emotions that I experienced before, during, and after, and also all of the actions that I took. Now, by going through this past achievement and breaking it down into these three categories, beliefs, emotions, and actions, I'm able to reverse engineer success. Like I said, copy it and paste it. Now, I'm able to see that my success recipe here, I can then take it and I can apply it to the new goals that I have and the things that I'm currently working on. And it actually applies very beautifully to something that I am doing that is very big and scary and incredibly uncomfortable this year. Now, I recently decided to do this by going back to a time in my life where I felt the healthiest and happiest that I can remember being. And this was when I was in London and I had just overcome a huge challenge. And I know I've shared this here on the podcast, how I moved from New Zealand to London and, you know, had a rough time of it and really didn't like it and put on a bunch of weight and was really struggling and self-loathing and all of that. And I overcame all of that and I got to this place where I was incredibly happy and I got really healthy. Like I was just so focused on taking care of myself. And, you know, I was eating healthy and I was, you know, engaging in healthy activities and a lot of wonderful things. And I remember when I think back to, you know, outside of today where I am, when's the healthiest and happiest time? And I remember that time standing out in my mind. So I spent time looking at this process. I looked at the beliefs that I had about myself and about my health. I looked at, you know, my happiness and why I was happy and what I was doing and what I was believing and, you know, all the emotions I was experiencing. And I really like looked at my life. And I remember at that time, in terms of emotions, I was experiencing good and hard emotions. When I looked at the actions and I could see some of the things I was doing and the routines and the behaviors that I had at the time, this was really, really helpful. It was really fun to actually play with this and go back and have a look and then see how some of these things are things that I have really adopted and kept and do now, but also how there are some things I had forgotten about that I can implement and play with now to help me achieve my healthiest year yet, which is my goal for this year. Okay, I've got a huge focus on health. Now, there is this incredible book that I highly, highly, highly recommend you run out and buy called The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. It is a blue cover and I've got it sitting like literally right here. It is one of those books that I could not put down, and this doesn't happen to me often because I can often struggle with reading unless I'm really into something, but this book was an easy read. It was incredibly well written. It's got good size print. It breaks things up with like a big quote on a page, so it doesn't feel like the book is like too much and too wordy. Like it is so well done. I absolutely love it. So many stories, relatable examples, and great research and facts. And I have highlighted the shit out of this book, right? That's how good it is. Anyway, this book by Dan Sullivan. Now, Dan Sullivan has ADHD. And I love that. I love that he has ADHD. Now, this is not a book specifically about ADHD, but the author, the primary author, it's co-authored, but the primary author has ADHD. Okay. And the one who has created this concept, he has ADHD, Dan Sullivan. Anyway, he talks about how we focus on how far we have to go and, you know, what we haven't yet achieved or done. And we always forget to focus on how far we've come. And he uses the language of the gap and the gain. Are we in the gain, looking back at how far we've come and what's worked and, you know, what we've achieved and accomplished in our life? Or are we in that gap where we're constantly focused on the next thing and how far we've got to go and kind of on that hamster wheel? And it's, as I said, a simple and easy read. It's full of relatable stories and examples, as well as, you know, is a lot of great activities in there for you to look at your life and really explore it from a very empowering way. I highly recommend you get this book and you do the activities. It's great. But in there, he talks about a term that psychologists have, which, and this is where I first learned about it, called self-signaling. So it's a term that describes how we judge ourselves based on our behaviors. Okay, so if you eat a donut, you will judge yourself as someone who eats donuts. If you get up early and go to the gym, you'll judge yourself as someone who gets up early and goes to the gym. Okay, hence all behaviors are self-signaling. All behavior is addictive. All behavior seeks more of itself. So if you hop on social media and you know, get on Facebook and you mindlessly scroll, you're more likely to engage in that same behavior again in the future. And if you begin to invest, you know, in a savings account now, you're more likely to continue that behavior into the future. Now, when we focus on the behaviors that we have that are working for us and the behaviors that are setting us up for success, we create more of what we want in our lives. Now, I would be silly not to mention ADHD's dopamine link here. Of course, right? We know that our brains have less dopamine than most people and that our brains want to engage in behaviors that produce dopamine for us, okay? And left unsupervised and without directions, our brains will act like little toddlers running out to get their dopamine,
And by that, I mean probably choosing screen times and sugar and other quick dopamine highs. But we also have the ability to choose our dopamine sources and to choose behaviors that we want to engage in. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't experience a strong pull or tug towards certain behaviors, especially if they've been things that we've, you know, often gone to in the past for a dopamine fix, if they have become a self-signaling behavior and, you know, formed into a habit. But that strong pull towards it is just that. It's a strong pull. And the less we choose to engage in that behavior, the weaker it becomes, the weaker that tug or pull on us becomes. And something else will become our new normal. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of this because I know so many of you, myself included, we work in visual pictures. And when we can, you know, put an example to what I'm saying, it really helps. So an example from my life is last year, I spent most evenings scrolling and watching Netflix when I got into bed. So I would hop into bed and I would scroll and go through all the social media apps, and then I would generally end up watching Netflix. And I would do that right up until the point where I turned the light out. And I knew full well that that wasn't really helping me. It was often kind of stimulating me in a way I didn't necessarily want to be stimulated. Some of the shit I was watching was also showing up in my dreams. You know, it wasn't necessarily a behavior I wanted to engage in right before bed. Now, this year, I have changed that. And my new normal that I am creating is that I'm on my phone and I can, you know, either be on social media, or I've actually downloaded this new game, which I'm obsessed with. It's a card game called Skip Bo, and I'm loving playing that. I started playing it with my family. It's a great way to connect, like playing cards with the family. And I decided I wanted to get really good at it, so I downloaded it on my phone. But anyway, I've decided that I can play that. I can either play the game, I can, you know, look at social media or watch something on TV, whatever I want to do on my phone, right? I can do that up until 9:15 during the week, or 9:45 on the weekends. And then I'm reading a book and I want to fall asleep reading the book. So that is what I am creating as my new self-signaling behavior, my new normal. And I have also made sure that the book I am reading is exciting, that I want to read it, that I enjoy it, and also I've removed the rules, meaning that I can skip bits in the book that are boring. I don't have to read specific things. I can skip to the end and watch, you know, look at the recap of the chapter, or, you know, I can look in the index and look for something specific I want to look at. So anyway, I'm enjoying reading. I've got a few different books and I can switch between them. So what I'm choosing to do still provides me with a source of dopamine, but for me, it's a much healthier and enjoyable source, and a source that I think, because I'm actually getting a lot of benefit from the stuff I'm reading and utilizing it throughout, you know, my ADHD research and my life and my business and all sorts of things. It's awesome. It's like a win-win. Now, the more I pay attention to this, the less time I spend scrolling. Right, the more I notice how this new behavior and this new self-signaling habit is setting me up for success, the less time I spend scrolling. And in actual fact, there have been many times where I've grabbed my book even earlier and just been like, you know what, I don't even want to be on my phone. I've started paying attention, real deep attention, to how I feel when I get off scrolling my phone, especially if I jump on social media. And sometimes I'll jump on and I will see something from someone and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I probably should be doing more, or, you know, I should be a little further along, and my brain starts to get into that shit. And I'm like, hang on a minute. If I'm going to jump on social media and get that, you know what? I actually want to spend a little less time on it. Okay. And by choosing to see that and do that, I'm actually spending way less time on social media. I'm instead, you know, I'll play this game on my phone, or I'll grab my book, or I'll even go and play a game of cards with people. Like, I'm just really looking at the behaviors and how they set me up for success. Okay. Anyway, I could go on for a while. Let's talk about the action steps that you can take. So, first of all, I want you to look back at the last 10 years of your life. Okay, so these are the action steps for creating your success recipe. Number one, looking back at the last 10 years of your life. Now, sometimes it'll help for you to go and scroll through your phone and look at favorites in terms of like your photo album. If you've got that favorites album, go through that. Or I don't know if your phone has, like, some phones have like different, you know, years, and you can go back and kind of scroll through the years, but just get a rough idea of what was happening in your life. Okay, so look back at the last 10 years, look back and find your biggest achievements, okay, and write them down. So some of mine include having moved countries, starting my own business, traveling solo for 6 months, overcoming my fear of dating and meeting my partner, selling my house, training to become a coach. And for you, it might be that you got married or you got divorced or you had kids or you went through menopause or you got diagnosed with ADHD or you got a degree, okay? Go back through and look at the achievements and the kind of big milestones in your life from the last 10 years. Then, once you've done that, like, this is just a really fun thing to do and to kind of reflect on. Once you've done that, pick one, okay? One of these that stands out to you. Now, I like to pick those that really required a lot of me, especially things that required me to overcome a fear or do hard things, okay? Next, we're going to break it down into three categories. And these are the categories that make up the recipe for success, okay? Now, the overarching theme here is looking at how you created the success. So, number one, what did you believe about yourself or about the process or about the outcome? Okay, what were you believing about yourself, about what it was you wanted to do or create, about, you know, the action you would have to take, the things you would need to do, the process of getting there? Okay. Number two, what emotions did you feel throughout? So we're looking at both the positive and perhaps the negative or the hard emotions that you had to experience. And you will come up with, you know, there will be a few. There will be, like, there might be proud afterwards, but there might have been fear beforehand. Okay. And then the third one is, what actions did you take? So what are all the things that you had to do? Okay. Now, I'm going to share with you some of the recipe that my client shared with me, because there are some things in here that I want you to pay attention to that may be very useful for your own recipe that perhaps you may not have realized you were necessarily using. Okay. So in order to, you know, overcome her challenge at work with this project and the struggles that she had with it, she had to believe that she could figure it out and that she could make it fun in the process. Those were some of the things she believed. She believed she could figure it out. She chose to believe that she could make it fun. And she also chose to believe that her ADHD was going to help her with some of the challenges that she was facing. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love that belief. I'm borrowing that. In terms of what she felt determined. She also felt curious when it came to solving things and figuring things out. She also felt playful in doing that. And then she felt proud at the end and excited to continue working on it. In terms of actions that she took, so some of the actions were that she used a self-coaching tool that I had taught her to help with her brain and getting her brain on board. She also used the NICU concept, okay, which is a great tool for ADHD, which is making tasks novel, interesting, challenging, or urgent. Okay, so she played with using that. They used some urgency. She managed to find novel and interesting and new and fun ways to look at various things. She also chose to work with someone and have accountability. That really worked. She also chose to really acknowledge herself and the other person throughout the process and, you know, celebrate their wins. Also took regular breaks in there. Now, I do want to point out to you, don't overlook the beliefs and emotions, okay? This is equally, if not more important than the actions we take. Often it's very easy to identify the actions up front, but it is very important to look at the emotions that we felt during that achievement. Like, for example, if you were studying and it really required you to feel determined, right? Look at that and acknowledge that. Or it felt you were required to overcome challenges and it required you to feel courageous. Okay. It is incredibly important that we look at that. It's important to see that, you know, success is created with a range of emotions. Often that includes feeling afraid, It includes emotions like determined and courageous, which sound wonderful, like being determined and courageous. That sounds wonderful. But when you're really feeling them, they're actually quite, you know, they can be quite hard emotions to feel. All right. So it's worth seeing that and looking at that. And also our thinking is what sets us up to feel the emotions and take the actions. Our thinking is the foundation of every single thing we do. All right. So when we can look at this and we can see, you know, what did I choose to believe in myself? What was I doing? What was I feeling? When we can look at that, we've got evidence to show ourselves we can do it and we can do it again, right? We've got a success recipe in front of ourselves. So with that success recipe, I encourage you to go out there this week and use it. Copy this recipe and paste it over the outcome that you are wanting in your life right now. All right, my friends, huge love to you all. Take care. I'll speak to you soon. Hey, friend, I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.